Hey, we want to get into the Word of God this morning, and I want to just do a shout out for all those who are part of the big weekend. what did we call it? Did we call it that? Or?
Yeah.
The big weekend, even though it was not quite as big as normal, it was still big spiritually, and that's what's most important is that it's big spiritually. We weren't at the camp. We had our camp was right here at the church, and they did an amazing job with all of that, and it was a powerful time, and their message was more like Jesus unveiled. And the scripture in 2 Corinthians, it talks about how with unveiled face we behold Him. And I think that's the heart, really, also of what I'm trying to do in this message series called The Presence. Because when we're unveiled, when we're real, when we're raw, and we stand before God, He loves that. He loves. His presence shows up. We think that that He would be repulsed by that, but instead He loves the rawness of what we are before Him. That's why on Wednesday nights, as when we were gathering for prayer, I said, we're just going to do raw. We're not going to have a schedule. We're just going to be raw. What's in your guts? Pray what's in your guts. Pray what's going on inside of you. Pray the reality. I don't care if you prostrate on the floor, lay down on the pews. I don't care what you do, walk around. Let's just get connected with God, because to me, that's the most important thing we need right now. I've talked about His presence. I said there's a problem. We've wandered away from God as a nation. And when you wander away from God, you wander away from truth. And when you will wander away from truth, you become more susceptible to the lies and the darkness of the enemy. We'll describe that a little bit more today. I said that the answer is that we need a revival. We need the presence of God back in America. I'm thankful for the return that happened. And those of you that came here to the church on Saturday, and those of you that watched it at home, there was prayer for America. They were on the mall in Washington, D.C., and they were praying and interceding for us and for our nation and for our president and for our Congress and for our nation that we would allow God to rule once again, that we would return back to Him. And as we return to Him, He would return to us and move in only ways that God can move and do things that only God can do, which are miraculous because that's who He is. We said that God's presence can be known, His essential presence, manifested presence. We talked last week about His cultivated presence. When we intentionally pursue God, cultivating our hearts for God's presence puts us in the proper position and condition for God to make Himself known. He shows up whenever He wants. He can do that. But He shows up a lot of times when we have prepared ourselves and we are pursuing Him. We talked about how to cultivate that presence. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Humble yourselves. And this morning, I want to talk about the first two mentions of the word the presence of the Lord in Scripture. The very first time that the word the presence of the Lord in Scripture is used is in Genesis 3:8. If you would stand with me, we're going to read the Word of God. This is one of the Scriptures we're going to talk about this morning. Say it with me. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You may be seated. Oddly enough, the first time God mentions the presence of the Lord, what you would think, wow, God showed up and it was magnificent and He talks about His presence. No, what happens is we hide from it. Here they are hiding from the presence of the Lord. First use. Let me give kind of a background here. Adam and Eve, they've enjoyed some time in the garden. They've been walking with God in the garden. We don't know how many years they've been just enjoying being in the garden, naming all the animals, just walking with God, eating of all of the benefits of it, you know, not having to pull weeds, just enjoying it all being taken care of, enjoying a wonderful utopian life. I don't know how many years. They've just enjoyed it together. But then the devil comes along, as he does today. The devil comes along and he starts to talk to Eve, especially Adam. And he gets them to think differently, to think incorrectly. You know, I think the first thing that the problems that happens with us as people is we start thinking wrong, then we start doing wrong. We usually don't do wrong and then think wrong. We usually start thinking wrong and then we start doing wrong. So the enemy knew he had to get them thinking differently in order to get them doing something differently. And so he starts thinking. He starts talking to them and to get them to think differently. He wants them not to think that, hey, God's neat. We're walking the cool of the day. This is fun being here. We're going to enjoy all this food. We're going to enjoy everything that's here. We're right in the presence of God. No, he gets them to think differently. He gets them and he makes them think that they're unsatisfied, that God's holding out on them. And when they got them to think wrongly that they were unsatisfied, they started lusting for something different. They started lusting for something more. You see, whenever we become unsatisfied with what God's doing in our life, we start lusting for something more. We start thinking what we shouldn't be thinking. Something more. Something more. The devil says, all they have to do is just eat this fruit. Oh, we can eat anything. No, no. Eat the fruit that God told you not to eat. Eat the stuff. Do that which God told you don't do. The devil is telling them because they're unsatisfied now. So instead of obeying God, they're just thinking, yeah, I am unsatisfied. Is there more? Is there what? And he tells them to eat the fruit that they're not supposed to eat. And then, like he says today, and then you'll be happy, popular, rich, famous, powerful. Put whatever you want in there today. Back there is, I'll be satisfied with something more. All lies. Because they weren't going to be more satisfied after they ate from that fruit, were they? Are you really going to be more satisfied after you follow the plans and the thinking of the devil and sinful way? Oh, if I do that, my life will be better. It's just going to be more awesome. That's what he promises. Is that what he really gives? Oh no, your life is going to be better. Just eat the fruit and poof! They would be like God. That's one of the things he told them. Just eat this fruit and poof! You'll be like God. It's like you eat it and poof, you know, explosion's going to happen and it's going to be awesome. Genesis 3:5, for God knows, this is what the devil said, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, eat this fruit that God told you don't eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be, say it with me, like God. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now listen to this and hear me very carefully. The first lie of the devil, if you eat this, you will be like God, but they were already like God. If you eat this, you'll be like God, but they were already like God. They were created in the image in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God decided, you'll be a male, you'll be a female. God decided it. God created them. And then the devil got them to question who they were and what they already had. He got them to question who they were. I'll tell you today, I believe it's an attack of the enemy today that the enemy is using, trying to question men and women, who are you? Are you what God created you? Or are you something else? Are you who God created? I think it's an attack of the enemy to confuse innocent people. Innocent people are being laid prey to this thing from the thinking of the devil, of God. These people, these awesome, wonderful people are thinking wrong thoughts because God said, I created you this, I created you that. And so, great people are believing a lie. I think Adam and Eve were great people too. They believed a lie. What lies are we believing? And those lies are hurting us deep down. This is the truth. But the world has produced a lot of lies. They were already like God. Hey, take us, you'll be happy. God has already made us happy in our heart. Honestly, knowing that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for my sins. I'm going to heaven. I'm already satisfied in my soul. Why do I need anything else? All of marketing is to make you unsatisfied with what you have, so you want something else. And then once you get that, you're going to be unsatisfied with that because now we have something else. So they believe the lie, they eat the forbidden fruit, and poof! They were not like God. And here's the funny thing. Not only were they not like God, in fact, they were more now unlike God. Hear this. They believed the lie. They entered into the lie. And now they became more unlike God than they were at the start. Unlike God, sin enters the world. You see, the result of believing the devil's lie is the opposite of what he promised. Well, you'll be happy if you do all of that. Oh, yeah. And we start that way that all of a sudden we have to pay for all of this. And all of a sudden we don't like the consequences of what it's done to us. You liar. Duh, that's what his name means. He's a liar. He's an accuser of the brethren. He lies. He lies. He lies. So instead of godliness, they got evil. Instead of godliness being like God, you'll be like God. No, what they got? They got evil. They got sin. They became more unlike God. You little liar. I'll tell you what. I so hate the devil. I see such great people believing lies. And my whole heart is trying to convince them of truth. That's not going to help you. Believing that, walking that way, it won't help you. Oh, I know now it feels good, but you're going to get down here, down the road somewhere, and you're going to realize, wait a second, God had a plan and purpose and made me a certain, and now I've not followed, I believe the lie, and now I don't like my life right now. I'm so mad at him. I'm so mad at him. He's causing people to believe lies, and they act on them. Thinking life will be better, but it just becomes more miserable for them and for everyone around them. Oh, God, help us. Adam and Eve started feeling different. They knew something was wrong. They lost this glory glow. They lost this, oh, you know, I think when they were created, let there be man. He creates man, breathes into him. And the first thing I think Adam said was, ah! The whole heavenly host goes, ah! You get this, oh man, there's something about him, you know? First creation in the likeness of God more than we are today, other than when Christ comes to our life and changes us. But that idea of the naivete and the pureness of freshness of first, never has sin touched this. Man, what a deal. What a deal. My gosh, but then all of a sudden they eat of whatever the fruit is. They eat of this fruit, whatever it could be, and all of a sudden, instead of going, ah! It went, ah! They knew something was wrong. Don't we when we sin? Something's wrong. Something, I don't feel right. Something's wrong. They lost it. And so they had a great idea, Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden like they always have for I don't know how many hundreds of years possibly. I don't know how many years it was that they were in there before they left. Walking with God in the cool of the day, the sound that they used to excite them. Oh, I hear him walking. Oh, let's go. Let's go talk with God's here. Now that same sound. Same sound, same God, same everything. Now they're going, oh, God's here. And they run. They run and they hide somewhere. Like this is going to hide them. They run and hide. They hid themselves. They heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Now, hear this again. I know I'm saying a number of hear this, but most times I said God didn't leave Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve left God. They ran from his presence. Most times when we wonder, where is the presence? Where did the presence of God go? He didn't go anywhere. We did. We left. Hebrews 13:5, it said of Jesus, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never, 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 never means never. But can you imagine? Here they are hiding from God. Hey, Eve, I don't think he can see us. I don't think he can. I hear him, but I don't think he knows where we are. Yeah. No, just stay here. Yeah. We'll get behind the trees. He can't see us. He can't. They didn't have proper biblical teaching back then about that he's omnipresent. That he's everywhere. Oh, no. Just gonna hide. We know he's omnipresent, and we still do that today. We know the truth, and we're still going, oh, I'm in my closet. Nobody knows I'm in here. And the enemy's really good about, shh, hey, nobody knows. Don't worry. Go ahead. You can do it. Nobody can see. Nobody can see. Except him who sees everything. They're hiding. Their attempts to hide. They sold fig leaves. Some of the illustrators said, you want us to get us a couple fig leaves? I said, no. They're hiding. Okay, he can't see me. I'm entering into my sin. Oh, nobody knows. The word hid, what does it mean up there? Give us the word. It means to secrete, to do secretly. To do secretly. Hey, no one will know. Just keep it between us. No one will be the better. No one will be the wiser. Oh, there is one who is completely wise. A wise God who understands exactly where you are. And what are they hiding from? They're hiding from his presence. The very essence of life. That which sustains our life. That's what gave us life. He breathed the breath of life into Adam. And Adam became a living being, a living soul. That's how come he's alive. And now he's hiding from the very person who gave him life. Do you not understand what's going on here, Adam? No, because he believed a lot of lies. He's believing a lot of lies. No, God hates me. God, I got to get away from him. You think God hated Adam and Eve then? He loved them. And so they're getting away from his presence. What does the presence mean? Anterior, or kind of towards the front versus posterior, right? He didn't show him his back end. He showed him his front end, his front, the presence. What goes on again? The face as the part that turns. Continue on. To turn, to face, to appear, to look, to face. To turn and face. You know, I think we have a problem in America today. We don't want to face anything. We don't want to face our sin. You see, the reason Adam was hiding is he was in shame due to the sin that he had committed. Sin caused him to shame, right? And what does shame do? It makes us, our countenance falls. We look down to the ground. We try to run and hide. All shame does is want to get us away from people. And that's what happened right then. Adam was in shame. He wanted to get away from the presence of God. He didn't want to face his sin. Instead, he wanted to pretend like it wasn't there. The presence of God, oh boy, I see sin. Here, I see fig leaves, I see fruit, I see fun, I see, oh, I see sin. I think one of the things that was bold about our worship this morning was we wanted to look God face in the square in the face and say, hey, purge me. Right. Put me in the fire. Yes, I want to be more holy instead of, no, no, don't touch me. I'm fine just the way I am. Oh, don't make me more like you. Instead, I need you. You know, we hide behind things. What are you hiding behind today? What are we hiding behind from the presence of the Lord? Maybe God's asking you to throw it away and just say, God, come and look at me. I guarantee you this. All of us are sinners. And when you throw away what you're hiding behind and boldly look God in the face and say, oh God, search me, look at me, try me. I'll tell you what, he's not going to come and go, you wicked, vile thing, zip, and all of a sudden, like he burns you like he does a little kid burning an ant with his magnifying glass. Oh God! Ah! When we get the guts to look at God, he looks at us and goes, oh my, thank you. Thank you for facing this thing in your life. I just want to grab hold of you. I want to hold on to you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. But Lord, my sin is so bad. I don't want, hey, the blood of Christ. We are talking now New Testament. The blood of Christ takes it all away. I'm going to wash you up. I'm going to make you clean. I got a plan for your life. I got a vision. I'm so excited about what we're going to do. And then we walk for a while. Then all of a sudden we fall into sin. We were tempted to run back to the bush again and hide again. And God's going, no, no, don't do that anymore. It doesn't matter. I know you're a few years down on your walk, but I'm still working on you. Don't worry about it. Just come confess it. It's all right. But Lord, I shouldn't be in this right now. It's all right. I'm going to help you. And then we walk down further and we trip over something. And then we say, hey, Lord, I need you. And then all of a sudden he starts helping more and more and more. We're still falling. We're still falling short. But somehow we look at him and he continues to help us, encourage us. He doesn't condemn us. He convicts us. And all of a sudden, we get into that fire and we continue to ask it. And we realize as we get down the line that a lot of sins are falling off of me. I didn't realize I don't do that anymore. And that's not really a problem as much anymore. And wow, Lord, I'm so thankful. Maybe there's a few besetting ones that are happening, but God's saying, continue to face me. Continue to face me. Presence, face. Face me. Face me. Because I love you. Face me. Because I love you. I can help you. I can change you. He said that the presence of God changes us. Oh God, change us. Oh God, change us. God, don't let us hide. But let us be changed. Let us be changed. In Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor anything kept secret that shall not come to light. I would rather bring it to the light myself than have the Lord have to pull it out in front of others. God's very good. He'll deal with you privately. If you don't want to be with privately, he loves you enough to deal with it with more people. God help us. God help us. God help us. How do we hide? We quit listening to God. We quit reading our Bible. We let our lust lead us instead of our Lord leading us. We just wander. Wander. So stay in God's presence. Don't hide. Don't hide. The enemy says, oh, he's going to be mad at you. He's going to be mad at you. You better get behind the bush. He's going to be mad at you. God's going to look at you and he's going to go, all right, we're going to work on this. God's not going to be mad at you. He's going to love you. Does he like what you're doing? Of course he doesn't. But he's not up there going, oh, I'm going to fry you in your own grease. He says, I'm going to love you like no one's ever loved you. I'm going to love you through this thing. Let's get to the second scripture. The second time that this is used in Scripture, Can you put it up here? In Genesis 4:16, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod to the east of Eden. Interesting. The second time it's used, the first time they ran from the presence, the second time he walks out from the presence. Either way, they're kind of, these two ideas of God's presence, these two encounters, the first two are people are leaving it. What's happening here? Cain just got done murdering his brother because his brother gave a more acceptable sacrifice than he did. And so he was jealous. He was mad. Kills his brother. In Genesis 4, 3 and 5 it says, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, his younger brother. But he did not respect Cain, the older brother, in his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Remember I said shame usually puts us down? His countenance fell. He's in shame again. But he doesn't just hide. He does something about his shame. He goes and kills his brother. I always thought, though, why did the Lord not respect Cain? He says, and the Lord respected Abel, but he didn't respect Cain. It's interesting. It says in here in verse 3, and in the process of time, you know, Cain brought his from the field. Abel brought his from the flocks. And somebody thought, well, it's just maybe the difference there. But both offerings were used in the Bible. But there, I think there's got to be something more. And if you look here, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering. In the process of time. In the process of time. In the process of time. When I get around to it. When it's convenient for me. When I don't got anything else going on. You see, in the process of time, he did not give to God right away, but he seemed to wait. You know, sometimes we wait because we're not fully trusting the Lord. Well, I was going to do that, but I'm going to wait for God to make sure that he's going to. And sometimes he's asking you to take the first move, and then he'll move. But we kind of wait. We hesitate. We stay back. God says, go talk to that person. Ah, we didn't talk to him. We wait months and then years and all of us. I'm just saying that God is saying, hey, when he speaks to you, he wants us to act responsibly and right away. I wonder if he did not give to God right away, but he just waited. He didn't trust God. Secondly, it says he was very angry. That word means blazed or burned. I wonder if he just had a bad attitude. Bad attitude. Something just eating at him. And he displays it. Then it says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. It's a very interesting study when you study the word Nod. He left the presence of the Lord, and what did he leave it for? He left it for Nod. He left that which was awesome, the presence of God, and he left it for Nod. The word Nod in the Hebrew means vagrancy. Vagrancy, the state of living as a vagrant or homelessness. The word comes from a root that means to exile. It comes from another root that means to waver, to wander, to flee, to disappear. He just kind of wandered around. He left the presence of God, and when he left the presence and the purpose of God, he entered a time in Nod of just wandering aimlessly. Wandering aimlessly. When you leave God's presence, you end up wavering and wandering and homeless. You know, God said, Christ is my home. Christ is my rest. Christ is my refuge. You see, when we walk away from the Lord, we walk into this wandering and wavering and aimlessness, this homelessness. God doesn't, he puts us solitary in families. He wants us in family. He doesn't want us alone and hopeless and aimless. And when we leave the presence of God, there is another presence that will gladly guide you. Guess what that is? The demonic presence of Satan. You leave the presence of God. You say, God, I'm leaving. I'm going to go out from the presence of God. You're going to end up in Nod. And there's someone who leads everybody in Nod, in aimlessness, in wandering, in homelessness. And that's the devil. There's an amazing contrast between the rest, the home, the presence of God, and the aimlessness and hopelessness and homelessness and wandering of the devil. God came to give us rest. The devil came to give us aimlessness, to not be satisfied, to always digging for something more. And I want to share this. I came across this as I was studying, and I'm just bear with me on this. The word Beelzebub is the word for the devil. It's a word for the devil. It's one of the words they called Jesus because they said, he casts out demons by the devil, which was untrue. So they called him the devil or Satan. It's a name of Satan. The word Beelzebub is an interesting word. It means dung god. I think it's a good name for the devil. What god do you serve? I serve dung god. It's really crappy, but it's... Never mind. Whoops, I wasn't supposed to say that word. My wife told me never say that word from this podium, but she did say it in her class, and so... It wasn't recorded. Did you hear that, Lord? I want to see it in heaven. I want to see... I want you to rewind that, and we're all going to watch it there as she says, crap. I have a little bit more reason to look forward to heaven now. I'm just. A lot of times you can't see it as well now, but she rolls her eyes often when I'm up here. No, she's a great wife. She inspires me. You got to realize when we got married, she was so far superior to me in her walk with the Lord. And I'll tell you, there was a benefit there because it produced a great hunger inside of me and wanted me to run and catch up to her. Beelzebub, dung god. Who do you serve? I serve the god of dung. Understand that when you go to Nod and you're walking aimlessly and you're believing the lies of the devil, you are serving dung god. When he says, go to that party, sleep with that guy, cheat on this test, and all of the other vile things that he asks us, remember that as you go there, I serve dung god, not the living god. All that the dung god can do for you is give you more dung. And then he puts perfume on it and says, doesn't this dung smell good? And for some reason, we go and roll in it. Our new dog seems to roll in dung. There's a deer, pooped. Our dog runs to it, smells the poop, and then rolls in it. And I go, what the? Why do you roll in dung? That's my question to us. Why do we roll in dung sometimes? I've done it. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying, why? Because we thought it would be cool, be fun. Dung god. It comes from two words, Beelzebub. Beel, which means to exercise dominion over or be lord over. Baal, lord over. And Zebub, which the verb form means, which means to zip aimlessly to and fro. That's that. Remember Nod? Just aimlessly to and fro. We're just going, we're wandering aimlessly to and fro. The interesting thing here is, though, is the noun form. The noun of Zebub means it describes the fly. Doesn't that describe a fly? Just goes here and there. Just wanders around. You see it. What's he doing? I don't know. Just flying around. Just Beelzebub literally means lord of the flies. He's lord of the flies. And where do flies gather? Around the dung god. You see flies, you see dung. When a fly lands on you, guess where he's been? I think it's an interesting thing to look at the difference between God's empire and the devil's empire. I think God's empire, I'm going to liken the bees, and I'm going to liken the devil's empire to flies, because he's the lord of the flies. He's the dung god. Everybody say that. Dung god. Since flies don't acknowledge authority, this name is kind of an empty title that he's lord of the flies. But I want to look at this. You look at bees. Bees have a house. They create a hive. They like flowers and help them reproduce. They make honey. They speak a language. They're talking to each other. They care for their offspring. My gosh, they're building a spot for them to live. And they're armed. They got a stinger. Better watch out. Satan's empire is like the flies. Flies are homeless. They just, you know, show up over here and over there, and you're going, where are they? They're homeless. They don't cooperate because they're just out for themselves. They like dung, right? They like dung. They land on dung. They like decaying flesh. They like death. They lay maggots. They lay eggs that produce maggots. They make nothing. Have you ever seen anything and go, wow, look what the flies made? Other than a mess. They speak no language. They don't care for their offspring. And they're not armed. Here's a picture. Look at this one picture here. Here's a picture of fish flies in Minnesota. Just recently, fish flies in Minnesota that just hatched. There they are at a game. Can you imagine playing? They had to cancel the game there because there were so many flies. Flies everywhere, 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 everywhere. Flies. You know what flies are? They're annoying. Flies are annoying. They're annoying. Flies cause annoyance. That's all they're good for. There was actually so many flies that hatched. There were billions of them. They actually, when they looked at the weather radar, they could see them as a cloud. Yes. Look online. Who said what? No, look me up. You know, fact check me. Check me. What? I like it. I love that. You know, I like a response. You know, what? You know, somebody go, hey, I don't like what you're saying. I go ahead and say it. No, seriously, don't just follow the crowd. Just go, nah, you're not convincing me. Try harder. Flies. You had a fly and you're somewhere and you're just trying to do something and it's annoying. It's literally annoying. I remember one night, I'm sleeping. I'm in my bed. I'm a young kid. I'm about 13 years old. I'm in my bed and this is what I hear all night long. And then it would land and stop and then it would start again and you could just hear it. And it's just flying and all of a sudden I got so mad at that thing, but I could never find it. And finally, after hours, I finally fell asleep because I was exhausted. But all I could do was hear that. So in the morning, I got up and I went to take a shower. Shut the door. I'm in the shower. And guess what I hear? Oh my God. Vengeance is mine, saith Philip. Oh my. I grabbed the towel. And that fly is here. Put a little water on it because I put water on it. You know, water. We just put it in your purse. Anyway, see that fly? I see you fly. I see you fly, Lord of the Flies. I see you annoyance, and I'm trying to get him. I'm flipping at him. I'm just so mad. Get that fly! Because I didn't want to. I didn't want to catch him. I just wanted to have him blow up. Just because he blew up my night's sleep. And I'm just flipping. And then I get over here. And he's still flying. I'm trying to get him to land, but he doesn't. And I go, and I hit the bulb. The globe over where my light is. It shattered. It shattered. The light globe shattered. Now I'm in the dark with glass everywhere. And I'm now fuming even more. God, I am so mad at that fly. So what I did, I went to my bedroom. I grabbed my shoe. I come up to that fly. And I killed it! 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 And I rubbed him in and I... Oh, if we'd be that persistent about the attacks of the enemy in our life. The enemy simply wants to annoy your life, get you dissatisfied with what you don't have, to get you lungering. I make up words every once in a while. Don't fact check that. That's not a word. Hungering and longing. Lungering. For something more. Dissatisfied. He wants to annoy you. He wants you to get you to lust after something, to be unsatisfied. He's there to annoy you. He's Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, the dung god. Don't let him have his way in your life. And if you're seeing flies and they're buzzing around and you're sitting there, why are all these flies? You might want to look at what you're standing in. There might be a lot of dung there because dung attracts flies. But God, He washes us clean. Let's pray. Father, I pray. All of us have been deceived by this dung God. We've lusted after things. We've longed for things. We've been unsatisfied. We look at Adam and Eve and go, why would they do a stupid thing? And yet we do it often. We enter into sin and run from your presence. Why didn't Cain, why didn't he just do... Why would he leave your presence for Nod, aimlessness? Beelzebub, the god of aimlessness, of annoyance. The fly god, the dung god. Lord, help us to get serious with the things in our life that we need rid of. Let us smash them. And Lord, we realize we can't do it by ourselves, but you and the power of the Holy Spirit have such an amazing power to deal with sin. But we can't leave your presence and expect you to deal with it. We've got to come running toward your presence. And say, Lord, look at us, deal with us, change us, empower us. We don't want to serve a dung God. We want to serve the living God. The one who gave us breath and whose life we give back to you, Lord. And say, use us for your glory. Help us, Lord. Change us, challenge us. Inspire us and let us smash and squash the things that you don't like. Purify us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you're having trouble with sin in your life, at the end there's going to be people praying. Please come up, face it, ask for help, deal with it, and get ready to see God squash something. Amen. Greeters.